Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
There should never, under any circumstances, be physical abuse in the marital relationship. Any man who's physically abusing his wife needs to stop it immediately. And anyone who's claiming to be a Christian and physically abusing his wife needs to wake up and realize, you know, you're mistreating God's property. You're mistreating God's daughter. You don't want to do that.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, in a message titled, Christ, the Church, Wives and Husbands. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Like Jesus gave his life, well, you know, as a husband, I might say to my wife, honey, you know, I'd give my life for you. I would lay down my life for you. If there was a speeding car coming by, I'd pull you out of the way and I'd let it kill me. That's how much I love you. And then your wife says, that is so sweet. Could we go to the mall today? Are you kidding? I'm not going to go to the mall. What are you talking? I hate the mall. I'm not going shopping. I'll throw myself in front of a car for you, but I won't go down to South Coast Plaza. So sometimes, you know, we're talking about, you know, this great sacrificial love that I have, and but then when we get the opportunity to demonstrate something that is far less a demonstration than that, we just, no, I can't do that. So giving, this whole thing of giving ourselves, it's very practical, it's very down to earth, and it starts with giving our time. Giving our time. Doing things and going places that your wife enjoys or desires, men. Now listen, I want to say this up front here. Here's the great news about all this stuff. The great news is that this is all happening in a process. I don't know hardly anyone that gets this right all the time or got it right from the beginning. And this is the beautiful thing about it. We, ladies, listen, your husband, he's a work in progress. And you got to remember that. He's not going to get this stuff right all the time. And sometimes it's going to take a while. But if you hang in there, and if you, you know, husband and wife both, you just be faithful. This is the growth and the development that takes place over time. And I can say that from experience, giving time, doing things and going places that my wife enjoys. When we were young, I didn't really think in those terms. I was the one who was going to call the shots about what we were going to do and when we were going to do it and where we were going to do it. And I didn't really consult her or consider her on those things. And after a while, you figure out this is not working that well. And so you have to make certain adjustments. But you begin to realize, you know, it's not all about me. Now, when Cheryl and I first got married, I have to confess that in my mind, this is how developed my thinking was on marriage at the time, I just thought, you know, we're going to go to the beach. I'm going to surf. She's going to sit there and watch me. And then we'll go home and she'll make like a killer lunch and I'll eat it. And then I'll take a nap. And then at night we'll go to church. And in the morning I'll get up and read my Bible. And so Cheryl, for me in the early days, she was just like this really great helper that was going to come alongside and make a lot of things easier for me and a lot more pleasant with good meals and things like that. But I wasn't thinking in terms of I'm going to be giving myself for her. And so when she started to say things like, well, I don't want to go to the beach. I don't want to sit there and watch you surf. I want to do something else. I'd be like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, what about all those things that you told me, like how much you wanted to marry a surfer and stuff? You got one. Look, here I am. And this is what we do. I could tell you so many horror stories, but You probably wouldn't like me anymore, so I'll keep them to myself. Giving of your time. It's not about us, although it's hard for us to face that fact. And just some of these things that are pretty simple, really. You know, they're relatively easy. They're kind of small things, but it's the smaller things that add up. And see, this is what happens when you start to have a breakdown in a marriage. It's usually because there's an accumulation of things over a period of time where there's just been over and over again the same sort of self-centered behavior by the husband, the same refusal to take into consideration the sensitivity, the needs of the woman. And then finally, one day, the girl's just over it. It's like, you know, I can't do this anymore. So men, we have got to be on our toes with this. We need to give. Christ gave. Time is something that we need to give. We need to give our wives attention. We need to give attention. Now, this is, in my experience, this is largely a one-way street, but it's okay because God told the husbands to give, not the wives. Now, my wife, and I know some of you ladies, you've listened to her, and you've heard the stories about how I'm in love with my phone, and I, you know, spend all my time tweeting and texting and ignoring her and things like that. And I must confess that there are times when I seem to be doing that, but I'm not really doing that because I can multitask. I can listen to her. I can be attentive. And I can do that at the same time. She doesn't believe that's possible. But the reason it's a one-way street is because, honestly, if she picks up the phone and wants to do that sort of thing, and I even suggest that she should put it down and pay attention to me, well, that's offensive to her. How dare me say that? Because I do that all the time, so she should be able to do it anytime she feels like it as well. So it's a lopsided view, but nevertheless, it is what it is. And we have this little dispute at least a couple of times a week. And Cheryl has concluded that my phone is just more exciting than her phone because she will grab my phone and she will spend 25 minutes looking at my pictures and my things. And I say, see, honey, the problem is just you have a boring group of people that you're following. You're beginning to understand why I have this obsession. So giving attention, listening. Communication. Everybody almost who's married has heard this probably, but it's true. One of the big problems in marriages, one of the first places where there's a breakdown is communication. People don't communicate. They don't listen to each other. They oftentimes don't talk to each other. So in giving, we're giving of our time, and this is what we're doing. We're giving time to listen to one another. We're giving time to talk to one another. We're communicating with one another. And, you know, of course, men are similar, women are similar. You have, occasionally, you find, you know, there's a man that in some ways is a little bit different than most guys. You know, he's sensitive, he's attentive, he's interested, but those are few and far between. Most guys are not like that. So I'll give you an example. I might say to Cheryl, so what happened today? And then for the next 30 minutes, she will give me a blow-by-blow account of all the things that happened that day, very detailed descriptions of things that happened. So then in turn, she says to me, well, what happened to your day? Oh, nothing. I don't know. A couple things. I kind of forgot them already. So, you know, she's like, can you be more descriptive? I mean, come on, something more than that happened today. Yeah, it did, but I just can't remember. I don't think that way. She's amazing at details. And I'm not. But these are the kinds of things that you, like I said, we're in a process and there's time and you start figuring these things out after a while. I've talked to couples who get married and after a year they're thinking, okay, this marriage can never last because we are so different than each other. But the fact of the matter is, in the long run, those differences end up being important things where you complement one another. But back to the husband giving of himself, giving attention to our wives. I mean, we need to be attentive. We need to listen. We need to be concerned. We need to hear the things that they're saying to us. Because sometimes they can say something and we hear it audibly, but we don't really hear it. We're not paying close enough attention to know that there really is something here that needs to be understood. Peter says to the husband, he says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to them as the weaker vessel. So the husband has an obligation to understand the wife. You have to know what she's thinking. You have to know what she needs. You have to know why she feels the way she feels and how you can help. That's an obligation that we have. Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. So when your wife says to you, you know, I just feel like you're neglecting me, don't say, no, I'm not. Say, oh, okay, in what way am I neglecting you? Get some understanding. Listen to what they're telling you. That's what it means to dwell with them with understanding. So even though you might not think that you're being negligent, the fact of the matter, from her perspective, you might be. And if from her perspective you are, then you actually are being negligent, because dwelling with her according to understanding. So this is where Paul starts. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And then he adds that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So this giving of himself, this loving that Christ has for the church, it's all for the benefit of blessing and building up the church. So Paul says we're to do likewise. Now, it's almost like Paul realizes, okay, wait, I'm writing to men here, so I need to probably expand on this a little bit. And maybe this, you know, loving as Christ loved the church and gave himself and so forth, this might be a little too much for some guys to really grasp. So Paul's going to take it and he's going to make it even more comprehensible. And he does it like this. He says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. So we get that one. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I love myself. We love ourselves. And listen, Paul's not putting, this is not a put down. This is just a reality. Self-love is a fact of human nature. We love ourselves. And as men, we love ourselves. We're thinking about ourselves. And so Paul says, okay, just as you love yourself and you're concerned primarily about yourself, take that and transfer it over to your wife. Love your wife as you love yourself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. So Paul is appealing to something that we can all identify with. Men, we are to have the same concern, care, compassion, and love for our wives as we do for ourselves. So again, this isn't a put down, it's just a reality. I want to take care of myself. I want to make sure I'm fed. I want to make sure I'm rested. I want to make sure I'm groomed. I want to make sure, you know, all of those things. It's just natural. This is human nature. So Paul is appealing to that element. Now, just like you would do this for yourself, now do this for your wife. So practically speaking, what does that look like? Well, first, let me point out things that we would never do if we are loving our wives as ourselves. We would never be abusive to our wives. Now, abuse, domestic violence, those kinds of things, those are big issues in our culture today, right? And at times, you even find that these things exist within the church among Christians, but there should never under any circumstances be physical abuse in the marital relationship. Any man who's physically abusing his wife needs to stop it immediately. And anyone who's claiming to be a Christian and physically abusing his wife needs to wake up and realize, you know, you're mistreating God's property. You're mistreating God's daughter. You don't want to do that, because there is a day of accountability that will come along where you're going to have to give an answer to God as to why you treated his daughter so poorly. That's a reality that we need to face. So any kind of physical abuse should not exist in the Christian home, in the relationship between the husband and the wife. But there's more than physical abuse. There can also be emotional abuse. You know, some guys will brag, well, I've never laid a hand on my wife, but they've mentally tortured them. They've emotionally tortured them. They do so through mind games, mental manipulation. I've seen cases where guys intentionally flirt with other women just to keep their wife in a place where they can control them, just knowing, hey, any time I could leave you for somebody else, just keep them off balance so they can never really be secure. That's a mind game. That's an emotional, that's a form of emotional abuse. It's a sin. If you're a married guy flirting with other women, you're in sin. So these kinds of things should never be done. Verbal abuse has no place in the relationship between the Christian husband and his wife. We're not to shout and scream and get in the face of your wife and call her names and things like that. People do this. And it's contrary to how Jesus treats the church. And of course, it's contrary to the way you treat yourself. You wouldn't do this to yourself. No sane person will abuse themselves. And you would never want to be treated this way yourself. But as a man, you're stronger. You have the upper hand, and you do these things. These things should be unthinkable for the Christian man. Now, again, it's possible that we've been guilty of these things. And there's grace, there's forgiveness. But we can't keep, if this is any kind of a pattern, this is problematic. I mean, there's occasional outbursts. There's times where we've said things we shouldn't have said. There's times when we might have been playing little games or whatever. Maybe there's times when things have gotten really heated and maybe even a little bit physical. But we need to know these are wrong and they should never be taking place among us. One time, Cheryl and I were in a marathon argument. This is when we were very young and newly married. And we, at the end, we didn't even remember how the argument started. It went on for so long. It was like a 5-hour marathon argument. And at a certain point, I called her a name, and I called her Dog Lips. I don't even know. I don't even know where that word came from, Dog Lips. But I said it, and she was looking straight at me. And all of a sudden, she started laughing. She's like, dog lips? Where did you ever come up with that? Dogs don't have lips. And then we went on to laugh, and then we finally reconciled, and by the end, we couldn't even remember how the fight started. But you know, I've never called her dog lips since then. We're not to do those kinds of things. So, no abuse. Secondly, we should never intentionally neglect our wives. Now, I say intentionally, because we can unintentionally neglect, right? I mean, we don't always know if we're being negligent. Sometimes we might know, but there's other times, like I said, there's times when Cheryl will say, you're neglecting me, and I respond, no, I'm not. But the fact of the matter is, she thinks I am, so I am. But I'm not intentionally doing it. I'm just doing it. I'm too busy. I'm preoccupied. I'm not thinking about her. I'm thinking more about myself and so forth. So we should never intentionally neglect our wives. Thirdly, we should be careful not to take our wives for granted. Now, again, I say be careful because we can easily do this stuff, right? We can just take them for granted. We're not necessarily meaning to do it, but we do. Which is, oh, this is my wife, this is what she does, and I never tell her thank you, and I never show her any appreciation. I just take for granted she's always going to be here, she's always going to do this, and we shouldn't do that. We need to be thankful. We need to be appreciative. We need to voice that to our wives. We need to let them know. I make it a point to always tell my wife how much I appreciate when she makes dinner, as she cleans the house, you know, those kinds of things. I just tell her, hey, what a great meal, or the house looks good, or whatever. I make it a point, and you know, she appreciates that. I don't want to take her for granted. Years ago when we were living in the UK, Cheryl and I were in like probably the biggest fight we have ever been in. And one of those just knockdown, drag out, you know, we were in the fight of all fights. And right in the midst of this, a friend of ours showed up at the door. And this added insult to injury, because we were partially fighting about my insensitivity, always inviting people to come over and stay with us without letting Cheryl know, and then all the burden and responsibility falling on her to, you know, take care of everybody, clean up after everybody. And I told her very insensitively that she was not being a servant, and that she was in the flesh, and that just exacerbated the problem. But anyway, all of a sudden the friend shows up at the door, and here's another one of those things that caused the fight. He just showed up because I told him, and I forgot to tell her that he was there and so forth. So there we were, and we were just having, like I said, the biggest fight of all time. And so it got so intense, I just finally said to him, I said, you know, look, it is not safe for you to be here. I'm going to take you over, and you can stay with some other people. So we got in the car, and we were driving over. And this is one of those times where, you know, I was absolutely sure that I was right. And it was one of those times that I was not going to back down. I was not going to give in. We were going to fight this thing out. And in my mind, Cheryl was going to admit wrong. She was going to admit that she was wrong in this, and I was going to hold my ground. So I'm telling my friend all of this and on the way over, and explaining to him why he needed to go somewhere else. And so he's listening patiently, and then he says, well, Brian, you know, I understand that. He said, but let me tell you something that happened recently. And I didn't know this, but he proceeded to tell me that his wife had a brain tumor, that they had discovered that she had a brain tumor. And it ended up being benign, and she had surgery, and she's fine. But, you know, so he's telling me this whole thing, and he said, and you know, just for a moment, I thought, wow, I might lose her. And he said, and I realized how I had taken her for granted, and I realized how so often I'd been petty about things, and I just thought, you know, I never want to do this again, and I want to appreciate her, and I never want to fight over these petty things again. And, you know, so he's looking to me, and he's pretty much just saying, you know, listen, you need to really reconsider your position. And, you know, so he finishes up, and he's staring at me, and I'm staring at him, and I just looked at him, and I said, well, listen, I get it, but my wife doesn't have a brain tumor. So I'm glad you feel that way. I don't. That's all. Now, today, I can admit that I was so extremely hard-hearted at that point. It was absolutely horrible.
For the month of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled God and Stephen Hawking by John Lennox. Have you ever wondered about how the universe came into existence, and ultimately how life was started and why you're here? The late Stephen Hawking made claims that it was the laws of physics that brought the universe into existence rather than the will of a creator God. In his book, God and Stephen Hawking, John Lennox engages and scrutinizes Stephen Hawking's deductions about the non-existence of God, and exposes the flawed logic behind his claims. Learn the reasons why the existence of God is more probable than you may think. We encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodison.uk to order God and Stephen Hawking by John Lennox. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.